Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, October 7th. I'm Ray Graff. Support comes from Dr. Jian Shen, specializing in endoscopic spine surgery and disc regeneration, treating disc herniations, spinal stenosis, and myelopathy. envisionspinesurgery.com for details. On this medical Monday, hammer toes, bunions, and foot fungus are on the table. Sounds enticing. Joining us to answer your podiatric questions is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman is a very popular guest. Get your questions in early. 800-348-2551. If you got a problem with your tootsies, you'll get a kick out of the show. 800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff in the studio to answer your foot questions. He's a podiatrist, so I think he can do it. Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. He has been practicing podiatry in the Hudson Valley for more than 35 years. He's a grad of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine and a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. Dr. Tooman is the author of the Amazon bestseller, Ask the Foot Doctor. He is also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. You got a question about your feet? This is a beautiful time to call. 800-348-2551 is the number. You try late in the show, you may not get in. 800-348-2551. You can email us as well at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Douglas Tooman, welcome back. How about those Jets?
How about those Giants? Forget about my Jets. J-E-T-S, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, but you're a big fan, right?
Oh, I'm a big fan, yes.
All right. Well, things will get better. You may not live to see it, but they're going to get better.
I just feel bad for my son. He may never. I at least had 69.
You've seen
with Joe Namath.
Yeah, you saw something good.
Yes.
The number here is 800-348-2551. So I kind of kiddingly said, well, you got any seasonal foot issues to discuss as we start the show? And to my surprise, you did come up with a couple of things. The whole thing about the nail polish removal I found interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so women go for pedicures or they just do their own nail polish and they go to look beautiful, make their toes pretty for us and their friends. And they take the nail polish off at the end of summer and all of a sudden the nails are a little bit yellow or they have these white streaks on them. And what most people don't realize is that nail polish, the kind of standard stuff that you get in the stores or the pedicure places, it's toxic. It has ingredients like formaldehyde, toluene, preservatives, chemicals, and you put it on under occlusion. There's no oxygen, and it's a breeding ground for fungus.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yes. So all of a sudden, your nails become yellow and thick and white, and they come in like, what happened to my toenails? And they say, oh, you got some fungus on there.
Dude, I have four daughters. You just save me so much money every year. Hey, listen, fungus, you can't do that.
Fingernails are okay. Toenails, not so much. Put them in shoes. They get banged up. It's just not so good. So we have to treat them and educate them about nail polish.
Wow, that's very interesting.
There's antifungal nail polish nowadays.
Would that be really truly recommended?
Yes, especially if you're going for pedicures. I recommend women bring their own because the store-bought is going to be toxic and not so good. The gel stuff they put on is even worse, by the way.
And then you mentioned broken pinky toes. Why would that be seasonally related?
Well, it's seasonally related because I already have some very close people to me that already called me in the last couple of days. They broke their toes or they think they broke their toes. The little toe, number 5 toe, the pinky toe, is the most commonly broken bone in the body, believe it or not. Out of all the bones, that's the one that's most broken because people get out of bed at night. You and I, we have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
You know, somebody moves something or the chair or the bedpost, actually called the bedpost fracture. You jam your toe, and all of a sudden, you break your toe.
Okay, man. So you're a foot doctor, and so obviously you wouldn't want to cast off potential business, but you can't do anything about a broken pinky toe, can you?
Ah, you can.
Really?
Well, it's not only the little toe. See, what happens is in my book, which you mentioned, thank you, is a chapter. It's broken toes. We should set them straight. Because when you break a toe, you never know where you break it. If you break it in the joint or if you have a dislocated or separated joint, if you don't get it aligned properly, then you can end up with arthritis or a hammer toe or a chronic pain in that toe.
Oh, interesting.
So I always recommend if you break a toe, you think you break a toe, get it x-rayed to see if it needs to be reset. Usually it'll be okay, but we want to save the toes.
Well, I've banged my toes many times and never done that,
yes.
Which now explains why my foot looks like a Salvador Dali painting. So there you go. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today. 800-348-2551 is the number. And let's see here. I think I made a mistake with the emails. All right, let's just go to the phones here, and we'll zip over and grab a call or two before the first break. 800-348-2551. Mary is in Wurtsboro. Mary, you're on with Douglas Tooman.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thank you. Am I too loud?
Am I too loud?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Well, you're loud enough.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, I have a question. My question is, I'm a 78-year-old woman in pretty good shape, and my arches fell about 30-something years ago. Is there any thing I can do about that? Just support the arches? Is that it? And then I have another question after that.
Okie doke.
So, Mary, thanks for calling in. And certainly, you're 78, by the way, it's a new 68 or one of those things. So
oh, really?
People are getting younger and more active, and you know we're going to have longevity, so we got to keep our feet in really good condition. So fallen arches. So
yeah, things, I walk a lot.
You should, and keep going, because that's number one best form of exercise for many of us to do. So keep it going, all weather, or get on the treadmill, whatever you have to do. But for your fallen arches, yes, arches do fall. Ligaments weaken. Our feet actually grow during our life, half a size or a full size or two, because of the weakness of the ligaments. So yes, I always recommend supportive shoes and supportive inserts. They can be over-the-counter inserts, or for those that really need them, custom orthotics, which will be more customized to your individual foot. So yes, wear good shoes. Hoka, Brooks, Asics, Ultra, really good running shoes. Even if you're a walker, running shoes are best. Support your feet as best you can.
Mary.
Okay, good, good. Thank you. Another question. One more question.
Okay.
I broke my big great toe about 3 years ago, and it was bad because they had to take the toenail off, and it was really horrible. This 30-something pound rock fell on my toe.
Ouch.
And it was really ugly, you know. And anyway, it healed, and now about 6 months later, I developed the fungus. I guess that's not unusual, right?
No, it's not. You're between a rock and a hard place there with that. So when
right,
you have an
right,
injury to a toenail.
I can do about it. I mean,
Yeah, when you injure a toenail, Mary, yes, you go and then I'll go, or maybe I'll go. So when you injure your toe like that and you damage the nail, many times you've damaged the root and the way the nail will grow back in, often thick, yellow, deformed, and that is one of the injury factors from that broken toe and injury to your nail. Not much you can do about it. If it's painful, you can see somebody. But you made a great recovery, and you walk and keep on going, Mary. Thank you for your call.
Mary, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you have a question about all those bones in your feet, there's what, 340 bones in a foot, right?
Is that something like that?
No, how many bones
That's
are
That's why we're so busy. 26 in each foot.
26 in each foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 25% of the bones in the body related to the feet, 50 plus bones, and the foot is an intricate piece of artwork and functionally very sophisticated.
I know you're biased, but compare it to a hand, doctor. What's more tough, the foot? Really?
Yeah, you don't walk on your hands.
Well,
you know,
okay.
Some people do, the gymnasts, but
all
other
right.
than that,
I'm going to leave all that alone, and we'll go to Carrie in Highland. Carrie, hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
So my question is, what are the outcomes for four-foot reconstruction surgery? Are they good? Is it a good surgery?
Hi, Carrie. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you need done, and what's going on?
Well, I have very bad bunions, and I have arthritis in my feet.
Got it.
So, like, the midfoot is very painful.
Yes.
It's extremely painful to walk.
Okay. So the key things to consider, Carrie, when you're having a situation like yours, you need a really good foot surgeon. So somebody should be board certified, and you want to go to somebody that's doing this for what they do on a regular basis, not just, you know, every now and then they go to the operating room. So if you go to a really good foot surgeon, you will have an excellent result, and your pain should be relieved. The foot is a very, very complicated structure. And when you fix it correctly, you'll have an excellent foot to do whatever you wish to do. But yeah, arthritis is one thing. Bunion's another thing, and it depends what's going on. But a good, competent foot surgeon, you should go for an opinion. If you love the doctor, great. Ask them their results. If you don't love the doctor, just go to somebody else until you find somebody you're comfortable with.
I already did go to a doctor at Hospital for Special Surgery, and he was the one that recommended this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, in general, like certain surgeries have better outcomes than others. In your opinion, does this have a good outcome?
Yes, it does. And it depends upon your x-ray and your age and your circulation and many different factors.
Uh-huh.
So, Carrie, if you have a good surgeon and they would like you to, if they recommend it, you know, go with it. I think you'd get relieved of your pain.
All right.
How do you know it is just the fact that it's a good hospital? How you know it's a good surgeon?
Well,
how
it's not so much the hospital. The credentials of the doctor, maybe other people that have gone to the doctor, look at their bio, and if you trust them and ask, is this what they do? Have they done this? If they say they've done a number of them, ask them how many.
Yeah. Carrie, thanks a lot. Would you be a little offended if Carrie came up and said, you give me a good vibe, but how many of these have you done?
I would not be offended.
Really?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's just a funny quick story. When I started out, everybody has to start out at zero. You go into practice. You've done your residency. So they always said to me, when somebody asked me, how many have I done? I would say, I've done a number.
Number zero. You know what?
But in general, people who have been around, they've done a lot of these, or if they're coming out of a good residency program, they've done hundreds and hundreds even before they get into private practice.
Now, are foot doctors, are they known for their bedside manner? Are they good, pleasant people?
Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, most people prefer foot doctors for the foot surgery over orthopedists for their bedside manner.
Why is that?
We tend to be a little more funny and fun. And
is this propaganda? are you snowing me? All right, listen, we're going to take a break here. Dr. Tooman and I have to have a serious conversation, and we'll be back. Lester left town. That's Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with Wayne Shorter on the keys. Hey, listen, thank you to everybody who pitched in today in the Lockbox fundraising breaks that we did today during the roundtable. Fantastic. Last I looked, we're at maybe 344, something like that. That's 344,000 in the Lockbox, which will come off on day one of the drive, and the fund drive begins a week from today. So if you want to make a pledge, you can do it online while you're listening to the chat about bunions. You can do it right now. WAMC.org is our website. You can make a secure online pledge. But everybody who jumped in this morning, thank you. We'll be doing it again. Our guest today is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. And this email came in to voxpop@wamc.org. Joe writes, I'm recovering from a stage Lyme infection in my knee. During the peak painful period of the knee inflammation, the sole of the left foot went numb. As the knee infection subsided, inflammation has gone away, but there has been no change in the neuropathy. It has been weeks now, and although the knee is pretty much healed, there doesn't appear to be any change in the numbness. Is this kind of nerve healing a very long-term situation? Is it possible it could be permanent? And that's from Joe.
Hey, Joe, and so sorry about what you've gone through. Lyme and an infection in your knee with the swelling. Obviously, it's a big challenge for you. The nerve damage should be hopefully transient. It could take up to a year to get the nerve healed because nerves heal at a very slow rate, and the distance between your knee and your foot is a long distance as when it comes to nerve endings, as it heals by millimeters. So please give it time. You know, support yourself with nutritional supplementation, the B-complex vitamins and other nutraceutical for nerve endings can help. But yeah, you should not be permanent, and massaging the area and giving it life and so on and so forth will help you. But don't expect it to be permanent. Hopefully it is temporary and transient.
Well, keep your fingers crossed and your toes crossed if possible. Jim in Ballston Spa, you're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Hey, I have psoriasis on my elbows. and I have what I always thought was fungus on my toes, but the antifungal's not treating them. And so I wonder, is there a possibility I have psoriasis on my toes under my nails instead of fungus?
Hi, Jim. Yeah, it's very possible. Psoriatic nails are a common occurrence. People have psoriasis, psoriatic arthritis, psoriatic nails. So, yeah, you can definitely have that. What I would recommend you do is go see a podiatrist, and what you should do is have a nail sample cultured. They send it to a specialty laboratory, and they can find out if it's just nail damage from psoriasis or if it is fungus. The challenge sometimes with over-the-counter remedies is they're not going to be as curative as oral antifungal remedies or laser therapies. But in the meantime, I would continue with the topicals. But go see a podiatrist, get a culture done, and then see if there's actual fungus that can be treated.
Jim.
And they treat psoriasis?
Sometimes you cannot treat the psoriatic nails, but if it's fungus, we don't know unless we culture it if it's psoriatic causative action agents or if it's fungal agents that are causing it. You got to get tested.
Good. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Dr. Douglas Tooman here to talk about your feet at podiatry with you. Let's go to Jim in Matamoras, Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on.
Why do toenails have a tendency to thicken and turn under?
Hey, Jim. Nice to hear from you. So toenails, as we age, they will do that. And there's many reasons. Hereditary predisposition is one of the reasons. We start off with beautiful nails and they age out over time. And if your parents had fungal nails or thick nails or curling nails, you're going to get the same thing. Injuries can do it. Having fungus develop into the toenails can do it. So it's just a natural occurrence as we get gray hair or lose our hair or anything along those lines. Same thing happens to our toenails, our eyes, our teeth. Aging process. So hang in there.
All right, Jim, thank you very much. It's Doug Tooman. He's here to help you. And let's see, we'll go to Troy, New York. Jack, you're up.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Hello. Probably 4 months ago, I stepped on something little, and I've got a sliver deep into my foot. I tried to get it out, and only half of it came out. And now, 4 months later, I have something tiny deep inside my foot that won't come out, and I'm wondering what kind of doctor should I go to maybe actually cut it out.
Did you try come out wherever you are?
Oh, cut it out.
Okay, so a podiatrist would be your best bet, something we do all the time. Constantly, and my partners, we're all taking out slivers and splinters, even embedded hairs, dog hairs, glass is something we're very routinely doing in the office, Jack. So any podiatrist will do that for you. Sometimes you have to numb it up a little bit. Sometimes they're close to the surface. You don't have to numb it up. And sometimes it can be like a needle in the haystack. But usually things embedded in your foot don't want to stay in your foot. They want to come out. So if you can feel something there, we can get it out.
Okay, but it won't come out on its own after
one? I can't feel it because it's pushed in so deep, but I can feel it when I step on it. It hurts.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We can do imaging, but yeah, you do need to have that looked at, and it doesn't want to stay in your foot. That's why it's letting you know. We just got to get it out, and it will be something that can be remedied. So please go to a podiatrist. I think that's your best bet.
All right, Jack, thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. What do you mean dog hairs? How do you embed a dog hair in your foot?
It's the wildest thing. I have hairdressers and people have animals. Somehow these little hairs get into the skin somehow.
How?
I have no idea. They just
through an open wound? Or?
No. They just embed themselves. It's very strange.
That's demented, man.
I have hairdressers that come in. No, all the time I get little hairs out, dog hairs. It's very strange, especially like the hairs that are a little bit stiff, like a husky or something like that.
Yeah.
They get embedded.
All right. So getting back to slivers coming out on their own, you said these things want to get out.
Right.
If you leave it long enough, will they get out?
No, unfortunately, sometimes they're walled off. So the body is like an alarm system. So when something gets in your foot, your body doesn't know if it's entered or if it just broke the glass, so to speak.
Right.
So it forms a foreign body wall or a foreign body cyst, and sometimes it's stuck in that area, so you have to go in and take it out. I would say most times it'll come out without us helping them, but more often than not, you know, that's the case, but we have to go in and take things out frequently.
Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates joins us today, and let's do a couple of emails, and then we'll get back to the phones. This is from Ann, and the subject heading, osteoporosis in my feet. I was diagnosed with osteopenia a year and a half ago. A few weeks ago, I had a stress fracture in two metatarsal bones after walking on a flat path. I'm now wearing a boot, but believe that I probably have osteoporosis in my feet. Can you talk about the different treatments for osteoporosis? Would I need to have my foot heal before I begin treatment?
That's a challenging question. So sorry about your osteopenia slash osteoporosis. The difference is one is a precursor to the other. Osteopenia is weakening of the bones. Osteoporosis, it's more advanced. There's testing to do that. You can do DEXA scans and so on and so forth. Treatments for it, you'd never want to wait too long if it's in your family. I always recommend supplementation, whether it's calcium, magnesium, vitamin D. But then there are medical treatments for that. But you're dealing with stress fractures or fractures in your foot. You have to heal them before you can have certain treatments as far as your foot goes.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be swollen and painful. But you're going to have to see your primary care physician to find out about the treatments available for osteoporosis nowadays. But it's a challenging thing for you, and you need to get it looked at and get tested.
This one's from Andrew. What's the best treatment for runner's toe? First of all, what is runner's toe?
Well, it depends. I wish we could talk to Andrew. But usually what they mean is turf toe, which is an athlete's foot issue. A runner's toe is a great toe joint that's getting jammed. So if you hear an athlete has turf toe, they usually have some early arthritis in that toe joint. And as they're doing things, it gets hyperextended and it causes pain. So usually we do anti-inflammatories, injections, we strap and tape, we use orthotics. You got to get the inflammation down. You got to let it heal. You got to wear a stiff-soled shoe for a while or a Morton's extension, which you can get in an orthotic or maybe even on Amazon, just to let it calm down. We don't want that toe to bend as much to let it heal. Mm. A challenging issue.
All right. This is from Mary, who says, how do you avoid toenail fungus?
First of all, don't use nail polish. That's regular
right.
nail polish.
Okay,
we
fair
talked
enough.
About that in the top of the show. You pick your parents properly because that makes a difference. And at the first sign of any discoloration, go to a podiatrist and have it looked at, tested, and treated so it doesn't progress because it lives in the toenail. It doesn't get into your system so much, but it has a nice toenail to feed itself and grow. So if you see a discolored toenail, if you see thickening, yellowing, white toenail, go to a podiatrist, get it looked at, tested, and treated with antifungal agents. That's your best bet.
There's a hereditary component to
there
this.
There is, yeah.
All right. So the holistic medical approach being what it is, if you have toenail fungus in mm-hmm. the family and you have it yourself, mm-hmm. what other things are wrong with you?
That's a very good question. I have no idea what's wrong with you.
Well, you know what? Okay, that's it. This is Doug Tooman's last show, people, so get your calls in now. 800-348-2551. Oh, he's a funny guy, yeah. Let's go to Tim in Albany. Tim, you're on.
Hi.
Hey, you're on.
Okay, so I have been diagnosed with what they call neuropathy on both feet. Mine feels like crumpled up socks and the ball of my feet. It started coming on about a year or so ago. It's now gotten progressive. I've seen a doctor, and he couldn't do anything about it, but a podiatrist. But I've started doing acupuncture. I'm just wondering, that's been going on for a couple of months. I don't know if I really feel like it's doing anything for me. It seems like a little bit less irritation, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, hi, Tim. Do you know what the cause of your neuropathy is? Let me ask you that question.
Well, the thing is that I don't know. There wasn't a specific cause that I could tell. It just started gradually getting more and more of the uncomfortableness in my left foot and then my right foot.
Okay. So it's on both feet now. So let's just a refresher for the audience. Neuropathy is numbness that often affects the lower extremities. There's five major causes of that. Diabetes would be the number one cause. Back issues, believe it or not, number two cause. Chemotherapy is a cause. Alcoholic neuropathy is a fourth cause. And another issue is something called idiopathic hereditary neuropathy. And you might fall into one of those categories. Those are the most common. Idiopathic means we don't know what the cause is. Other ones we do if you're diabetic or if you've had chemotherapy or if you have a back issue. So sometimes you have to see a neurologist to get a good evaluation to see if there's a compression going on in your back or where you may have an issue from. But there's not a good answer for you, Tim, as to if we don't know the cause of your neuropathy. But you can try anything from nutraceuticals that help with nerve damage. You can try acupuncture. But also, I'd maybe seek a consultation with a neurologist as well.
Okay, I was thinking neurologist too. How about the footwear? Does that? It's not a physical element, so does footwear really have anything to do with a good or a better footwear?
Well, if you have neuropathy, you want to make sure you have wide enough shoes in the toe box. You don't want to be compressing your feet. So there's a brand called Altra, A-L-T-R-A, and there's other brands that have wide forefoot. Just make sure you have enough room to move your toes in the cabin, so to speak. Nothing too tight, nothing too compressive.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tumman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates joins us today. And let's go to Pittsfield. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. I'm a runner. I do the mountains here in the Berkshires. And what I've noticed years ago is that cold water therapy, I put something together about cold water therapy for my feet. And I related, any of the difficulties with the yeast fungus potentially. And then I used it on other applications. So when I go in the woods, I tend to find a cold stream and walk in it. And it's, I think, cleared up my any fungus or any problems I've had with my feet. And I wish I could have told my dad about this. And he probably could have gotten rid of his piles if he used a little cold water therapy as well.
Well,
nice.
It's a great thing to know, Mark. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, really, that was great.
There's keep running, and that's a wonderful thing as well. So, fellow runner, we appreciate you.
Right.
And good luck with that. There's really no medical reviews on cold water therapy for curing fungus at this point in time. But
all right,
you never know.
All right.
Work for Mark.
Thank you for that one. 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tumman is our guest today. It's foot. It's toes. It's the things. Let's go to Vicki at North Chatham. Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you?
Good. I do have this little issue.
Okay.
Mary, with your first caller, she talked about having a nail fungus. And, from injured it a year ago, and then I started noticing. So I went, and they put me on a sort of alternative one. It's a drops. And I'm in the car, so I don't really have it. I think it had fluticasone in it or something, and ibuprofen. Does an internal, is there a better? This doesn't seem to be curing it, and it's now 7 months or so.
Yeah, that's a long time to use the topical. You've been very good about that, Vicki. So, again, I would recommend that you get it tested with what's called a culture of the toenail, which means the podiatrist simply takes a little sliver of the toenail. It doesn't hurt. Send it off to make sure that we're treating fungus. And then there are better treatments. So we use an oral antifungal, which happens to be very safe, even though years ago it was thought, is it safe or not? 35 years later, it's a very safe medication. We use laser therapies. So, yeah, terbinafine and other things that can be utilized. But I would recommend getting it tested because you had trauma and injury. Sometimes it's damage without fungus. Sometimes it's damage with fungus. If there's no fungus, it's not going to be cleared with an antifungal. That's why we test and make sure you have a fungus in there, Vicki. But I think you've done enough. 7 months is a long time with a topical.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Vicki.
Appreciate it. 800-34. She didn't sound too pleased about that. I don't know. Sorry.
She's driving. Paying attention, Vicki, to the road.
800. Maybe she got a ticket while you were answering. 800-323. Nope. That's the fun drive. Zach, the engineer, you have. Okay. For tomorrow's show, you're going to hook me up to a small, low voltage car battery, and every time I give the fun drive number, just zap me a little bit, all right? It'll be exciting, like a game show.
You got to support the arch. You got to support the show. Lockbox, call in.
Okay,
know?
I got to write this down. Dr. Douglas Tumman is our guest. Let's get one more in here before the next break. 800-348-2551. Gail in Stockbridge. Hi, Gail.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
I am a 65-year-old, very active, healthy woman. I don't run, and I've started having intermittent pain on the top of my right foot only when I wear sneakers, and it sometimes impacts me when I walk. So questions are, is it arthritis? I don't have arthritis anywhere else, so a little bit in my hands. And should an x-ray be the next step, and would acupuncture help if, in fact, it is arthritis?
Well, some good questions, Gail. And the main thing is you're active. If you can pinpoint the spot on top of the foot where it hurts, where would you say it is? Is it close to the toes or close to the middle of the foot or the ankle?
It's about like right, if you're heading from your big toe, mm-hmm. kind of like back towards your front of your ankle, mm-hmm. it's like that
right
where
in the middle
it kind of goes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple things can happen there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gail.
Go ahead. I can wear like, you know, fancy dress shoes, but when I wear sneakers, somehow it's painful. Mm.
So you have to make sure a couple of things. There's a few things that can happen to the top of foot. Yes, arthritis is a possibility. Doesn't sound like arthritis to me because it only hurts when you put that one sneaker on as opposed to other times as well. Sometimes a sneaker or a shoe, although it's not your dress shoe, can press on a nerve ending or press on a tendon. So if you can find the spot that hurts, first thing I would do is I would skip that lace for a little bit. So just relace your shoe and skip it over that spot and decompress the area, so to speak. Second thing is you might want to get some topical anti-inflammatory medications like Voltaren gel or Tofersen or Arnicare and rub that on two or three times a day for a week or two. If not, then I would go see a podiatrist if that doesn't work and get yourself an x-ray and evaluation and see if there's a chip there or if there's arthritis. I actually think it's probably more of a soft tissue injury than arthritis, but that's what I would do. Gail?
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Just before the break here, Dr. Douglas Tooman, let's talk about topicals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused. You put topical over the spot that hurts. Mm-hmm. Now, the skin is its own organ.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that it only, like, that? How does it work? I mean, it goes into the skin, but
right. How
does it in fact fix the thing that hurts underneath?
Well, that's a good question. Let's just say you took an ibuprofen. It's an anti-inflammatory.
But that's the whole body, right?
Sorry?
That's for the whole body, though,
correct,
right?
But you're just putting us on one spot. So it's less strong, but you're focusing on that area, and it has an active ingredient. For example, the Voltaren gel has something called diclofenac, which is an anti-inflammatory agent that used to be prescription, still is, depending on what strength you use. So it will have penetration to the skin. That's why if you hear people talking about cosmetics, that's bad for you because it gets in your system, estrogenic effects, things like that, because the skin is a barrier, but it will penetrate through the skin.
Okay.
How it penetrates.
I still have several follow-up questions, but I fear we'll put the entire audience to sleep if they're not already. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman is here, and we talk feet with you every so often on this program. It's part of what public radio brings you on a regular basis. Oh, that's very soothing. That's good music to make a pledge online. WAMC.org. The lockbox is open. The fund drive begins on Monday, a week from Monday. We're up to 345, maybe. I haven't looked since the beginning of the show, but $345,000 is a lot of money. We still have a long way to go, and we need you. WAMC.org is the website. The number here on this program is 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us from Hudson Valley Foot Associates. He's been very good today. This is from Jen. Can you please explain a bit about how hammer toes develop and what can be done to alleviate them from happening? I have nerve damage, and one of my feet on my physical therapist is telling me I'm a risk for hammer toes. What's a hammer toe again?
Hammer toe is where your toes contract and buckle and bend a little bit.
Yeah.
And it usually happens to the second, third, fourth, or fifth toe, sometimes the big toe. And they're hereditary. In this case, if something happened with his nerve damage, that is going to create an imbalance because hammer toes, based on your question, what causes them, it's an imbalance between tendons on the top and tendons on the bottom.
Yeah.
The bottom tendons pull more. They pull the toes down. They get contracted. Family history is a big part of this as well, but in your case, it may be something else. Certainly, you want to extend and flex your toes, not necessarily in the downward position, but straightening them out, pushing down on them, and that's something you can do to help yourself. You're making sure your shoes are comfortable, but hopefully you will not get hammer toes, and if you do, hopefully they're flexible, which means they won't hurt as much. when they get arthritis and get stiff, that's when they become more painful. You get corns on top.
Who came up with that hammer toe?
I have no idea. Dr. Hammer.
Very clever. Paging Dr. Hammer. All right, let's go to Highland. Larry, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, I had, just speaking of hammer toes, I had a pretty severe hammer toe back in 99, and one of Dr. Tuman's associates performed the surgery. He had two of my second and third toe. Performed the surgery, and he did such a good job. 8 months later, I ran the Steamtown Marathon.
Wow!
So to anybody, so anybody who's having problem with their toes, be a good podiatrist. I couldn't recommend you more.
Thank you, Larry.
That's very kind.
Did I pay you to call in?
Exactly.
I don't know if I know you.
How much does he owe you now, Larry? That's strictly against public radio rules. All right, so go ahead, man.
Okay.
Oh, that was it? Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, that was a glowing review. And as long as it's heartfelt, we can get away with it and no money changes hands. So, Larry, thank you very much for that. What are you having him call in now? What is that?
Who knows? Mo Larry? I don't know.
Let's go to Marianne in Albany. Marianne, you're on.
Hi. I just have a question for the doctor. He was talking about antifungal nail polish. And I was wondering, is that something a layperson can take to their for a pedicure? And where would I find that?
Yes, Marianne. There are, if you go online, again, most podiatrist offices might carry them. But if you're not seeing a podiatrist, you can go online and you can just Google antifungal nail polish or non-toxic nail polish. The brand that I recommend is Dr. Remedy. I have no relation to it. At all, but I think it's made by a podiatrist, and it has an antifungal agent, no toxic ingredients. But there are other ones as well.
Interesting.
But feel free to look that up online, and definitely you can bring it to the pedicurist place. They'll be happy to do that for you.
All right, Marianne, thanks a lot. Now, I've asked you this before in years past, but you get the fungus on the toes. It turns yellow, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, who cares?
The women care.
But
they're embarrassed. It's such a social thing. I plead with women, don't worry about it. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking at your toes, and it just doesn't go anywhere. It's socially unacceptable, embarrassing, and they want healthy, beautiful toenails.
Okay. Well, there's a problem in society if that's a thing, and that's an issue.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. We're cavemen. It's different.
Should we do a sociological show instead?
Yes.
No, let's not. Janet in Albany. Janet, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Another hammer toe question.
All right.
So I have one toe sticks up on the little knuckle, and it hurts. So does that mean I should have surgery or I mean, I deal with it, but it's annoying. It's sore.
I'm sorry, Janet. You certainly want to, go through all conservative therapies, exhaust them, whether it's change of shoes or gel sleeves or, just simple things like that. If you're not getting relief, you should go to a podiatrist that does that kind of work and see if they have a remedy that's non-surgical. But if not, why not have it fixed and not have it anymore? That's just a nice thing not
so
to have pain.
It's not going to be, it's not a big deal. Then it's remedied by surgery, and it's not like a huge foot surgery.
Well, here's a definition of minor surgery. Minor surgery is when it's on you and not me.
Right. So, and until you get the bill, that's the other thing.
So I always think of any surgery as something you have to go in understanding the risks and benefits and rewards and what's involved for you, how are you going to handle it for that first or second week. But yeah, it's considered a minor surgery, as far as it's not overly invasive and you're not having an organ worked on and it's not life-threatening or limb-threatening. And you have to have good circulation. And if you're a good candidate, you should heal well. We do it all the time.
Super-duper. Thank you.
Thanks, Janet.
Thanks, Janet. And thanks for saying super-duper. I like that. Jim writes in, I have been diagnosed by an orthopedic practice as having peroneal tendonitis. I've been going to a physical therapist, but not getting better. Would seeing a podiatrist be helpful? He asked to the podiatrist.
Yes, it would be. So here's the thing about when you go to a podiatrist, it's all of what we do is regarding the foot. Peroneal tendonitis is a tendon on the outside of your foot where it attaches to the base of the fifth metatarsal, the middle of your foot on the outside, and it's an inflammation of that tendon. I had a patient this morning that had a torn tendon. We took an MRI to evaluate that tendon. Most of them are just inflammation and tendonitis. I commonly inject those. I commonly use anti-inflammatories, and it's a much quicker healer-upper than, you know, just waiting it out. So, yeah, I would definitely see a podiatrist and get it treated a little more assertively and aggressively.
By the way, do you guys do surgery in-house, or do you have admitting privileges at a hospital and do them that way?
Not in my house, but yes.
Your house.
We do a lot of surgery in the office.
Really?
But the larger surgeries are done at the hospital.
Okay.
You know, especially when you have to use some IV anesthesia or mixed sedation. So, but simple hammer toes can be done in either place. We do them in the office.
All right, this email from Paul. Yes. Here's one for you. Ready? My daughter had fungus that just wouldn't get better. She ended up using Vicks VapoRub, and it cleared up. Ever heard of this?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah, it's in my book, actually. There's an active antifungal ingredient in Vicks VapoRub. They haven't FDA tested it, but it is an antifungal agent, Carvacol or something similar. So people do use that, and it can be a result if you have a young person especially. If you have a really thick nail, it probably won't work. But early onset fungus, it can work.
And why does fungus make nails thicker?
Because it forms more keratin from the debris and the fungal ramifications.
Can you file them down?
You can.
You can just make them thinner?
You can, but when they're really thick, it's very hard on your own to do that. Yeah.
All right.
But you can. You
Let's
should.
Go back to our phones. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest from Hudson Valley Foot Associates. We'll go to Saratoga. Barbara, you're on.
Hi there, it's Media Project Barb with a foot problem.
You betcha. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay. So and if I have time for two, we'll see if I get lucky.
Okay, dope.
Some of the main one that I called about is I have a sensation on the bottom of my right foot that feels like I'm stepping on a crumbled up sock, even when I'm not, even when I'm not even wearing socks or even when I'm not wearing shoes. I saw the podiatrist a little over a year ago. And he suggested getting extra wide shoes so that I'm not squishing in the box of my foot. So I did that. And it's not painful. So it never went away. It's better, but it's always or almost always present.
Hello, Barbara from the Media Project. You have a neuroma, which is a nerve irritation in the ball of your foot. It's classic when you have a balled up sock feeling or something doesn't feel right in the shoe, whether you're wearing the sock or not. It's a sensory nerve. It doesn't affect your function, doesn't affect your toe movement, but it is what's called a Morton's neuroma or a neuroma, which is an enlarged nerve, usually between your metatarsals and the ball of the bottom of your foot. And you did the right thing by getting wider shoes. It's helped a bit. It's not painful, so you can live with it. Sometimes what we do is a series of 1 to 3 injections to try to decrease the enlargement of the nerve, and we have good success with that, maybe 60-70% of the time. And if it was painful, there are surgical alternatives. Yours can be not necessary. Orthotics can be helpful with that as well. But you have a Morton's neuroma, Barbara. That's what that is.
Barbara Lombardo, you go. Go ahead.
I have prediabetes, so is that a factor of why that might be there?
No, it's only on one foot. When you have a diabetic neuropathy thing, it's symmetrically and bilaterally noded. So,
and the shots would only just temporarily relieve the sensation, or is that
no? It depends. They may or may not work, but for those that it works on, it can be a permanent cure.
All right, Barbara, you can ask a second one real fast here if you want.
Okay, so I had injured the bottom of my Achilles tendon playing bad tennis. And several months ago, I was doing occasional stretching exercises and stuff. I was resting it. I've gone back to playing bad tennis and walking and all those things. I can still do that. But now I have like a pain on the side of my foot. Is it time to see the...
Yeah, I would. It's not your Achilles tendon anymore, but you might have been compensating. Right. Maybe you have that peroneal tendonitis. Maybe you have a posterior tibial. You should get it looked at just to make sure nothing... need some extra support or an orthotic or alignment issues, better shoes. So, yeah, please go see someone. I think it'll help you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, Barbara Lombardo, are you on the Media Project this week?
I am.
Excited.
Last I heard.
Well, we'll see you Thursday. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Now we'll go over to West Monroe, New York. And Kim, you're on. Hello, Kim. Are you there? Kim.
Kim.
Ah, there you are.
Yes, sorry.
Go ahead.
So mine might be age-related, unfortunately. I'm a young, older person. I walked yesterday a great deal with bare feet outside, which I do all season long. And by the end of the day, and I stepped on something I thought, so it might be a simple thing as a bee sting. It's on the ball of my left foot. Last night was agony with my foot. Walking on it, bad, shoes are bad, just on the ball. And I'm wondering, before I can see anyone, I'm heading to a meeting that I'm gone for 2 days. What do you recommend? An anti-inflammatory or cold or hot, just something to relieve it till I can, it goes away or I have to see someone.
Right, Kim, I it's a very difficult question. Is your foot red or inflamed where you have the irritation?
It is inflamed a little bit.
Okay.
And I've had I had a bunionectomy years ago and bone spur removal on the right. It doesn't feel like that at all. Right. It feels very swollen.
Yes.
And it is bigger than my right foot.
Yeah. So my concerns would be, did you get something in there? Did you get stung by something? In general, if you're walking barefoot, you can get a contusion or a bruise as well. I would be tending to ice it if it's inflamed. But again, if it gets more swollen, more red, you'll have to go to an urgent care center somewhere. I don't think it's going to do that. I think it's more likely to be something simple. But remember, redness, swelling, increasing pain could be the sign of an infection. If you have those signs, you need to go to an urgent care center. Otherwise, I would do some cold therapy. While you're away in a hotel room, you can put some ice on it and see how you do. Don't go barefoot for a few days. Wear some shoes that are comfy.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so very much.
Kim, thanks for the call. Quickly to the Berkshires. Louise, you're on.
Hi. I'm wondering if I need to see an ortho or a podiatrist for severe pain in my heel.
Well, you're talking to a podiatrist, Louise, and I'm going to recommend a podiatrist because that's all we do.
Surprising.
When you go to an orthopedist, they do wonderful work, but they do everywhere in the body. So they tend to be a little less, treatment-focused and more just do this and that, whereas you can get more treatment remedies directly to your heel problem. Usually it's plantar fasciitis, maybe a bone spur. And there are a lot of remedies, whether it be plantar fascial night splints, corticosteroid injections, anti-inflammatories, orthotics. But it's something we're going to be focused on to get you pain relief as quickly as possible, as opposed to just waiting it out. So that's where I would go.
What do you
think? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Louise, thanks a lot. Well, Doc, we got a minute and a half. Do you want to try one more call?
Sure.
All right, we'll go to East Moncton, Vermont. Mark, yep, have to make it pretty quick.
Yeah, I was just going to give I had like a fungus in my nail, my toenail, for about 2 years, and I put ointment on it, so on and so forth. And then my girlfriend at the time, who is my wife now, she said, hey, my mom used to do a poultice with flaxseed. So we ground up flaxseed and then put it, warm water in it, and then wrapped it. And gosh darn it, in 3 days, that thing was gone.
Flaxseed.
Beautiful. So it
flaxseed.
Yeah, good for you. And you got rid of it, whatever it was.
The poultice.
Yeah, whatever you did, who knows what it was, but you're good. And Mark,
isn't that interesting? And Mark, thanks for the call. We're out of time here, but
I take a lot of flax,
Oh, you've been on fire today. There are a lot of these folk remedies that seem to have some basis in fact.
Early onset, there are a lot of things that will work. Sometimes it's just a contusion and simple things that can get better quickly.
Doug Tooman, I forgot to ask, how's the ankle? Are you running again?
I got my first 1 year anniversary this month. I'm doing a half marathon this Sunday.
So that's
Rosendale.
13 miles.
13.1, yeah. I can't forget that .1.
All right, good luck. Have you considered just taking a car? Hey, man, so we will see. I think we have you one more time this year.
I think this is it.
Really?
Yeah, we got to start booking.
Do you want to come back next year?
If you let me.
All right, we'll do it then. Support comes from CHP Berkshires, medical and dental care at practice locations in the Berkshires, now offering the 2025 COVID vaccine for all ages on CHP mobile clinics on the road, chpberkshires.org. Well, once again, thanks to Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Great calls, great emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Bob Rathbun, yeah, the screener deluxe. Well done today. All right, so, tomorrow. If your car has a hammer toe, Gordon Fricke will be here to help your automotive maintenance and repair needs, and that's tomorrow at 2. Meanwhile, while I have 10 seconds, please pledge. It is the lockbox. It's open at wamc.org. Make it, hey, $5, $10, $20. Every dollar counts at the beginning of the fund drive, which is a week from today at 6 a.m. wamc.org. I know you'll do the right thing. We'll see you tomorrow at 2. We'll talk cars with Gordon Fricke.